from Luke 24, verses 44 to 53. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending you, I am saying upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, Thursday was Ascension Day. Did you all celebrate Ascension Day last Thursday? That's not something that we do very much, is it, to celebrate the ascension of Christ. We certainly celebrate the Good Friday, the crucifixion of Christ. We're pretty sure about the importance of that day. And we sure celebrate Easter. We're pretty sure of the importance of the day of resurrection when Christ was raised from the dead. And next Sunday, which is 50 days after the resurrection, we're going to celebrate Pentecost, which was the coming of the Holy Spirit on the church and the birth of the church. This Sunday, we had an option of choosing a passage from last Thursday, but since we don't get together on Ascension Thursday and worship, we're using the scripture from that on this Sunday. Because ascension is so important. Would you say that? Would you say that the ascension of Christ was important, even vitally important? Well, you know, we haven't often thought that. And I guess one of the reasons is because it just kind of competes with the resurrection and Pentecost. But, you know, you have to ask yourself some practical questions, and the church was certainly asking these practical questions. Jesus is raised from the dead. He's been with his disciples. And in Luke's gospel and book of Acts, Luke wrote both of those, you have Jesus being with his followers, his disciples, for 40 days, teaching them many things. I think many of the things that fall in the gospels are like the things that Jesus were teaching his disciples during his ministry, like the five chapters of what John has Jesus teaching at the Passover meal. I mean, five chapters, and Jesus is just teaching the disciples. Here, basically, you know, he's saying what he's primarily teaching is what he has been saying all along, but it hasn't been heard all that clearly. But now he's ready to ascend, and he's opened the scriptures to them, and he has taught them again why the Messiah had to come, why the Messiah had to die, and the third day be raised from the dead. Now, he really didn't talk too much about ascending and going back to God when he was talking about all of that. So you can imagine kind of where the disciples are right now. He's saying, this is what I did, this is why I did it, and now I am going to the Father. And can't you just hear the disciples, you know, asking some questions? I mean, have you ever had your own kids maybe ask questions? Are you, "Mom, Dad, where are you going?" "Well, we're going out tonight." and we're going to be gone for two or three days. Can we go? No, you can't go on this trip. Well, who's going to stay with us? And then you have to explain that, and you have to explain that everything is covered while you're gone. Jesus is telling them that he's now leaving. I'm leaving you. In Luke's version of what happens after the Gospels, in his Gospel, his Acts letter, you have him with the disciples doing the very same thing that he is in the Gospel, except the disciples say to Jesus, "Jesus, will you now bring in the kingdom and restore it to Israel? Are you going to do that now?" You see, that's why they thought the whole purpose of the resurrection, let's go ahead and bring in the kingdom. I mean, you're here. You're the Messiah. You're the one that's supposed to rule over, you know, the new Israel. Let's just get on with it. Are you going to do that now? He said, no, I'm going away. And so you have some disciples that are wondering now, what are we going to do? What's going to happen to us? Have you ever been dependent on somebody and not knowing really what you would do if you didn't have that person in your life anymore? So dependent that you would be lost maybe without that person. At certain times along the way, I think we've all had, you know, those people in our lives, those kind of folks in our life. But Jesus is saying, I'm going away. It's not for you to know when the kingdom's going to be here in its fullness, but I want you to go, and I want you to tell what God has done. I want you to tell about the cross on which I died, because that is what God has used to actually redeem this world, to bring his grace into this world. But you know, the strange thing is, nobody knows that. And could it be that everything that God did through Jesus Christ when he came and suffered and died on a cross and was raised from the dead is going to go to waste? It would, wouldn't it? Would it not? If it stopped right there and nobody ever told anybody else about that or what it meant, then it just dies. And it wouldn't matter whether Jesus was raised from the dead, because the message would be dead if it were not shared. Jesus said, you're the one that understands these things, and you are to be my witnesses. Now, you're going to witness to two or three things. One is, you're going to witness to the nature of God. You know, one of the celebrations of Ascension, it's really what Ascension means, is that on the third day, he rose from the dead and ascended to heaven, and sitteth at what? The right hand of God. You know, in the scripture, that expression, sit at the right hand of God, be at the right hand of God, is there over and over and over again. It was a hymn in the early church. It was a part of an affirmation of faith in the early church. They knew that that's where Jesus is. Jesus is at the right hand of God, which means that everything that God does, Jesus does in exactly the same way. Everything that Jesus does now, because he reigns and he rules over everything, is the very same thing that God does. So you have God ruling, you have Jesus ruling, God reigning, Jesus reigning, and it's all together. As God reigns, so Jesus reigns. As Jesus reigns, so God reigns, because Jesus is at the right hand of God. That's what's happening right now. That's where Jesus is gone, and that's where it is. I'm not sure we understand that. I'm not sure that we even sometimes believe that. I can tell you an example. I think, for me, I'm often with people when they have had a tragedy, when there's been suffering, and especially the suffering of innocence, when they've lost someone that they loved dearly. And sometimes, and I'm not sure, I've even thought this some myself, but quite often I hear, I just don't understand how God could do this. I don't understand how God could let this happen. And whether you're thinking rightly or wrongly, whether you're shaking your fist or what, you know, in all of my 65 years, I don't think ever once heard someone say, "I don't see how Christ could do this." I don't think I've ever once heard somebody say, "I don't see how Jesus could allow this." Because we think about Jesus as the one who loved and cared and healed and accepted and forgave and fed and had compassion and who touched and who was touched by. And finally, you have Jesus even hanging on a cross. And we understand that that was for us. So it's kind of hard to shake your fist at Jesus, isn't it? It seems like it's okay if you shake it at God, but not at Jesus so much. And we forget that just as Jesus was just like God, so God is just like Jesus, and that's why he came. Because God loves, God cares, God heals, God forgives, God accepts, God is compassionate, God touches, and God is touched by you and me. That's how God is. So if you're going to carry your grievances to God, you're going to have to carry them to Jesus. That's just the way it is. They're one in the same. And they are going to be from here on out. So that's part of the message. You need to get, you know, you're thinking about God straight. Because without Jesus, sometimes we give God a pretty bad reputation. Blame him. Accuse him sometimes even. But the other thing is to kind of get a hold of our purpose and this mission that we have that Jesus has given us. You are my witnesses. And he didn't just say that the disciples were his witnesses. In fact, when the gospel writers write the gospel, they're really using the disciples at this point as representatives of the church, because the disciples tell what they witnessed. They witnessed this in Jesus. This is what they witnessed in the cross. This is what we understand. God could not reconcile the world to himself in any other way. He tried every other way, but his intentional will just didn't work out. That's a Leslie Weatherhead term. But even when nobody followed, even when nobody trusted God, even when nobody listened to God, and even when nobody believed Jesus, when nobody trusted Jesus, when nobody obeyed Jesus, God still found a way through Jesus to reconcile the world to himself, to redeem all of us, and it was by the cross of Jesus. You're a witness to that. And honestly, if that witness hadn't been passed on, you and I wouldn't be here celebrating that now. And if we don't pass it on, we're going to lose that. It's ours to share. It's ours to pass on. I had a judge in my last church, Charles Langham. When I finally made it to his office, I noticed that he was carrying an Olympic torch, 1996. And you know, they were passing that all the way across the country, and somebody would get that torch and they would run it for a mile and then they would pass it on to someone else. And it's really quite a big deal, the passing on of the torch. I think that's a good image of what Jesus was talking about with his disciples. You're my witnesses, and you've got to pass this on. You've got to pass the torch. You've got to pass it to the next generation, and you've got to witness in such a way that they want to pass it to the next generation, and your witness has to be so strong that that generation will want to pass it on and just keep passing that torch. We're coming up on annual conference in less than a month now. And One of the important parts for me is when the ministers that have been in the ministry 40, 45 years, they come up on the stage and they have a Bible, and they pass it on to some minister that is going to be ordained that evening. And then that Bible is received, that Bible is used in the ordination service, and the bishop and others that lay their hands on you, they say to you, take thou authority to read the scriptures in the church of God and to preach the word of God. That's passed on. Every year, it's like that. And the truth is, if that does not happen, and if those scriptures aren't passed on, and if that word isn't preached, then that good news is going to die. It's not that it isn't, you know, on paper or something. That's why I think Jesus was very interested in us understanding how this is going to work, because just because you know about something, and if you're not sharing it, and not even that, if you're not sharing it in a way that is believable, it's still not going to make any difference. In other words, you could pass on this good news, but if people don't see it in your life, if they don't see that it has really changed you, that this is good news for you, and your witness doesn't just mean, you know, taking, you know, a Bible and passing it on to somebody else, they want to see the living Word of God somewhere. That's what the church is all about, to be the living Word of God. Would you say that your life is a kind of witness that makes other people believe that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life? That's what the witness is about. And he said, stay here in the city, and you're going to be given the one to make that witness an alive witness. You're going to receive power from the Holy Spirit, which means that this God and even Christ that we are talking about is actually going to come and is going to accomplish through you, if your life is surrendered to Him, what He's actually calling you to do. And it will be done then in a way that is believable. Terry and I are spiritual directors on an Emmaus walk that's coming up in 2 weeks. And we have to do practice talks. She was telling me a while ago she's got to go finish her practice talk because she's got to deliver hers next Saturday, and I've got to deliver mine next Saturday too. There's really no practice talks, but you have 15 talks on a walk to Emmaus, and each one is presented before you present on the walk to Emmaus. And you know, the best part of it is they give you the script primarily, do they not? They want every Emmaus walk to be very much the same, because it's a very anointed retreat. And they give you basically the script, and you add your own personal life and touches to it. And you know, it seems like you just kind of pass on the script, right? I mean, that would be assumed is made easy for you. But you know what we do? We get a team of about 100, and we start praying, and we prayed all day yesterday, at least 30 minutes, and then before each practice talk, we go into a chapel, and we ask to be anointed with oil in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we have people surround every speaker, and they put their hands on him, and they just pray fervently for that speaker who is about to go, and pray that speaker and that speaker's words would be combined with the Holy Spirit, so that this message will be really believable out there. Because, you know, if it's just up to me passing on a script, what power is that? But if somebody sees it in your life and know that you mean what you're saying, I mean, that's it, isn't it? you don't really care too much what I say on Sunday morning unless you know that I believe what I'm saying on Sunday morning. And I'd be the same with you. I really wouldn't care a whole lot about the way that you word and articulate your Christian witness unless I knew that you really believed what you were sharing and what you were saying. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's why God chose human beings to pass this on and to be the church, not by themselves, but by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that is working in us. I love a story by Anton Ritka. I have to remember the English pronunciation of that. Great conductor. And as the story goes, he was rehearsing his choir to do the Messiah. And it was going very well. And they came to the place where the soprano was to take over the refrain. I know that my Redeemer liveth. It's the front, over and over again. You just hear that. And the soprano was just excellent. I mean, her pitch was perfect. Her enunciation was perfect. Her presentation really was flawless. And so when they finished that, the choir in their rehearsal was expecting Anton Ritka to, you know, express his approval for what had just taken place. But instead, you know, he walked quietly over to the soprano, and he said very quietly to her, he said, "Daughter, you don't know that your Redeemer lives, do you?" And she said, "Well, I thought I did. Yes, I know that my Redeemer lives." He said, "Okay, sing it like you know your Redeemer lives." And so he cranked up the orchestra again, and she sang it. And he smiled and he walked over to her and he said, "You do know that your Redeemer lives. And you have just told me. Now you go and tell everybody." Jesus has promised us, if that's something that we want to do, if that's something that's in our heart, then he and we will certainly make that happen. Will you pray with me? Lord, it still just astounds us that you would even think about using people like us to carry as your witnesses the message of what you have done when you came to us, calling us to relationship through Jesus Christ. And yet, we know that that is precisely what you've done. It's why you've put us here as a church. You put us here as our individual Christian witness. But you've put us here as a church to be that witness in our community and in our world. Help us to give that witness in such a way that everyone sees that we know that our Redeemer lives. And because he lives, that life is ours. Because he lives, that love is ours. And it is not only for today, but it is for eternity. Oh God, how this world hungers for that message. How this world hungers for that good news. How lost we are, no matter what we have attained or gained, if we don't know this. So help us to know it deep in our soul and to share it from that same deep place as your Holy Spirit gives us ability. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.